97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, and here's something new. The guy that is attached to the name of the show is actually in the studio to do the show. How about that? That's a little weird, I think.
Sorry,
right?
I can't hit the bell right.
How are you, Sue?
I'm great, Mark. I am so glad to see you.
Well, let me set the table here first, and I'll do a quick explanation, and I think next week we'll talk a little bit more about the elephant in the room. But let me introduce Jane Duker, because she's here on the roundtable.
Yay!
Hi, Jane!
Mark! Is there ever a day that I would say, oh my gosh, I am so happy to see you?
We've had those moments, I think, because we've been good friends for years.
Like,
but I haven't seen
now.
you because of the 4th of July weekend, and I was off for a stretch here.
It's been a month at least.
It's been a few weeks for sure. We have State Rep Steve Butts also on the panel this afternoon. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Hey, Mark. Doing great.
Senator.
Great to see you.
And former St. Louis County Police Chief and former St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch is already
in the building
as well. Hi, Chief Fitch.
Hi there. Thanks for the invitation.
So
Glad to be here.
The bottom line is, look, I threw down with the company, Sue. I said, I'm so sick and tired of this studio being 66 degrees. I'm not coming back until the thermostat is fixed. And I walk into the studio today, and it is 66 degrees.
Yeah,
now,
welcome back.
I have agreed to do today's show.
Yes.
I can't speak for next week.
Well, you have a parka on.
I do, as people have warned me.
I don't know where our blankets are, but
I've got them stashed.
I have another hoodie. I will say this, and again, I'm going to probably, when I'm a little bit more comfortable, talk more about the circumstances, because there's all kinds of theories out there. One guy, this is true, Sue, I don't know if you heard about this, one guy insisted with Tricia that not only was I dead, but that the company was covering up my death for some reason.
Yes, so, she told us that.
Do you really think that would happen?
Well, this could be AI. I might not really be here right now. This could be all AI Mark Reardon. We don't know.
You know
we decided that was HIPAA on steroids.
Right,
yes.
But the company has had limited ability to say what was going on, and I'll just be honest with you, and this is what I've told some people. I haven't been very public about it in the past few weeks, but I had a relatively serious mental health situation. I've talked about my anxiety and depression in the past. I experienced this in 2013 and 2014. I got through it, and for whatever reason, and I'm just as confused as anyone would be, including my doctors. When I got back from Greece, so this goes back a little while, Sue, and you know this because you've been with me. When I got back from Greece, the second day back, I was just, disoriented. I wasn't feeling right. The thing about, and I said I wasn't going to spend the whole time talking about this because I want to get to other things, but it's a very difficult thing to explain to people who've never gone through it. And what I do think is a lot of people listening right now, if you haven't gone through it, you know people who have gone through it.
Yep.
So I was in a period in May where I was so disoriented a couple of times, I couldn't drive. One time I took my car to get a haircut, and I was so off physically that I had to call an Uber. And then, things started to get a little bit better, and then they didn't, and they got worse, and some of it ended up being depressive. And again, you go back 30 years, and if you heard me talking about depression on the radio, I would have scoffed about it. What do you mean, depression? Just get out there and do a run. And I believe in that, by the way, physical exercise. But I got whacked pretty hard. I had to take a little bit of a leave of absence. But let's talk about more fun things, like Sam Page being indicted. Jane, let's go with that. All right, and I'll get back into the rest of
let's
some of this
start
stuff later.
Where we should always be.
Now, and I know that this was kind of a last week story. You have no idea. There's so many things that I've wanted to comment on, and
some
of those things
we'll
be able to do. I've missed it terribly. But now we have some people that are in this race, like Brian Williams, who's a senator. Steve, you introduced me to Senator Williams when I came into the Capitol.
I did. I'm
a
big fan of Brian Williams. I think he's great for the state. He's certainly been great in Jeff City, and I wish him nothing but the best in his run for county executive.
Amen.
So on the indictment, though, and Chief, I want your opinion on this as well. I looked at it. I read through some of it. It's very detailed. It's very specific. It's not one of those things, though, where you can say to people, oh, the county executive from St. Louis County has been indicted because of this, and he robbed money from the, from the piggy bank or whatever. It's more complicated than that.
A little bit.
And I know that you've been on probably a week-long party. There was somebody that said to me, has Jane had a consistent something for, and I think it was.
Yeah.
But so my question, though, the realistic question about the indictment is, it seems like this is not a slam dunk case, or do you think it is? I mean, the crimes are felonies, but it's not like they raised to the level of felonies that we've seen other public officials, if you understand my point.
Well, but I will disagree with you on that, because Bill Webster went to jail for using
30 years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah,
30 something
jail
years ago
for theft of honest services for using a state copier for campaign purposes.
Well, Jeff Smith's another example, right?
And
not the same circumstances, but there was
a mailer.
Well, he also lied to the FBI.
It was the cover up,
right? Right.
But there's a lot of facts here that indicated that he knew exactly what he was doing. First of all, he started off paying for his opposition with campaign money, so he knew it should have been campaign money, and he ran out, so he decided, well, I'll just raid the taxpayer.
And when that happened, though, we were, Tom Sullivan, who's always the guy who is on top of the... Everyone was talking about it, right?
The council was talking about it. Everybody said the council refused to give him money for this nonsense. And so he just went ahead and did it anyway. And, to me, when you know that you're doing it... And there were 84 text messages that his chief of communications turned over to the highway patrol that Sam didn't. So he either chose not to turn them over, which is a major problem, or he deleted them, which will be hopefully another felony for spoliating of evidence.
Well, and he was using his personal device, not
Absolutely.
A county device. And there's only one reason you do that. As a former county elected official,
right.
I knew my phone records could be sunshined at any point.
Absolutely.
And by the way, about every 6 months they were.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Especially during COVID,
it.
I'd get a request every six
yep.
months. I want to see your
yep.
text message.
Yep.
Guess what? Sam Page doesn't have anything, so he used his own personal phone.
And his director of communications,
by the way, that
was
doesn't
directed
get you,
to do that.
That does not get you out of the sunshine law.
No, it
just
does
because
not.
You're using your own
It just makes
your
personal phone subject
that's
to.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why the highway patrol came
right.
and took his phone.
Absolutely right. And that's the second part of this story is... This isn't over, guarantee
Way
you. It's not over. All we've heard is the first shoe.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other shoe is going to drop, and it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Do I think Sam Page is going to be convicted of a felony? No. Do I think, well, at least not what's been charged
yeah,
right
so
now.
Well,
what's
was
been charged
why,
right now.
That's why I asked some of these questions.
But so far.
Here's his major issue. Isn't the criminal charges. He's trying to raise money to run for county executive. Who's going to give this guy money?
Well, he's under indictment.
Now that they know there's another viable candidate, they're going to start giving Brian Williams the money instead of Sam Page.
Yep.
In interest of full disclosure, I am Dennis Hancock's campaign treasurer for his county executive.
He's already declared that he's going to get
the Republican candidate. So I think at the end of the day, this is going to be a race between Brian Williams and Dennis Hancock.
And two good people who are honest. I don't always agree with Dennis, and he, but I will say that will be probably the best talent we've had running for this in a while.
But there's a racial component here, in case people don't know. Brian Williams is African American. There are votes certainly in the north part of St. Louis County that will certainly matter there. I mean, if you handicap this race from afar, like I would, I don't know Senator Williams outside of when you introduced him to me, but I know his reputation, and everyone really seems to like him. I think he came at one of your fundraisers that I attended as well. I love Dennis Hancock. He was the mayor of Fenton. I've known him for a long time. There's a gravitas issue that I see with Dennis Hancock in a position like this. Maybe that's unfair to Dennis, but I don't know. Is there more of a consensus that other people will get into this race too? It's not just going to be those two, right?
On the Democrat side, the more people that jump in, Sam Page has a better chance of winning. So
I don't think he's going to end up running by the end.
And I've heard that too, that he won't. His ego is
his
so
ego
big.
Yeah,
do you really see him just going, I give up?
No, I don't.
Yeah. I tell people, he's out there telling everybody, this is nothing. I got the best lawyer in the world I'm awesome. And I'm like, so how are you going to fight the quo?
Yeah. Did you see what Richard Callow had to say about this is the Republicans' best chance of getting Sam Page out of office?
So they're calling Brian Williams.
That's exactly right.
The African American state senator for the last 6 years from U City, Ladue, and North County.
Okay, but it's
Republican.
Callow. I mean,
it's
what
Callow,
else? What
and,
else?
Isn't
you
he working is, for Sam Page? So,
yes.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, who's
take
Callow working for here? I
Sam
mean,
Page.
That
Sam
doesn't
Page.
Help. That does not comment. Does not help Sam Page.
No, it does not. And it's funny because just coming off of his stints running, PR for Pam Hupp, the serial killer, and also running PR for Michael Devlin, the serial child rapist, and the Westlake landfill.
People,
those are his clients.
Explain who Richard Callow is, because he's an insider.
You're the shadow.
Big insider that everybody kind of knows
he
of.
He must not be named.
And he shills for people that most of the rest of us don't like, typically, doesn't
yes.
he?
Well, he tried this with Tashara. He ran the Trump thing. This is what he tried to do for Charlie Dooley. I mean, everyone who has lost has followed this pattern of advice. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, handicapping this race, I think the primary, I think Sam gets shellacked. by Brian Williams. I really do. Wow. I think
I'm waiting for the first polls to come out, which I think are going to show Brian Williams.
Oh,
significantly ahead.
But people don't.
Page.
I mean, people don't really know him, though. Do
no,
they?
But he makes he's going to be a great candidate. He makes a great impression. He's
he
got
really does.
He's a smart he does
guy.
Have both gravitas, but he comes off. He's just such an excellent public speaker. I think he's going to be a great candidate. Super, super likable.
Yes.
Super competent.
He's
a good combination. He's
blacks,
got
whites, Democrats, Republicans.
Clays. I mean, there's a lot of pieces there.
Well, I'd like to get to know him a little bit better because I don't have a relationship.
Well,
and
tell him
one,
he needs
one of
to
you
come
people.
On here.
Well, we'll do that for sure. All right, hang tight. We have one segment of the Reardon Roundtable with the actual host of the show back
in the
saddle, trying to get back on the horse here this afternoon. We're coming back with more. Yeah, trying to get back on the horse here a little bit after a personal leave of absence. You know, one guess that people had amongst me dying was disciplinary action. And that's not too far off the mark in most circumstances, I will say that.
But
it wasn't that. It really wasn't. Jay Duker on the panel, Tim Fitch, State Rep Steve Butts. Let me just kind of touch on something that I saw in the St. Louis Business Journal. Jacob Kern, who's one of the great reporters over there, you know, and this is a story that is a consistent theme, unfortunately, on this show about downtown and crime and businesses. And the headline of this one is Downtown St. Louis Exodus Continues as Small Firms Join Big Names. And they talk about a guy by the name of Vince Ebersold. And I don't know him, but the way that he's described is he's helped reshape downtown. In his more than 30 years as an architect, he's worked on redevelopments that revived vacancies in neighborhoods, including the Paul Brown Lofts, the Bogan Lofts, the Front Page Lofts. He said in this article, I love walking out of my front door and seeing 15 projects we've done by looking in both directions. So they've been on Washington Avenue for more than a decade. And his quote here is, they're going to move. They're not moving out of the city. I think they're going to Dogtown. But he said, it became harder to hire. This is what really resonates, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. It became harder to hire. It became harder to retain employees. It became harder for me to justify a block and a half or a two-block walk after hours from my employees. And my concern for their safety was paramount there. I understand that completely because it's not safe to walk from this building, for example, even to Busch Stadium. And I'm cheap. And sometimes when I go to baseball games, I park here, but I've experienced the same thing going over to Enterprise. But again, Steve, I'll start with you on this in the city. I know that Kara has a lot on her plate, you know, even in the aftermath still of the tornado, but this is not getting better with businesses leaving downtown.
Well, not yet. I am hopeful that it will. I mean, when the Millennium gets redeveloped and other development.
If.
I'm going to say when.
Say
I'm going to say when. Mark the tape. That being said, I mean, this has been a multi now decade slide with businesses downtown, and it's been exasperated, especially in the last 5 years, really since COVID. The way people work has changed. That's certainly part of it. I was down here downtown yesterday. I had to come downtown, right, one of the major law offices. I was there 4 hours. And just where you had to park and how you had to get in and the security just to walk in the building because I guess they just want homeless guys coming in and harassing people. I don't really understand this heightened security. There is literally no one working in these offices. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a little freakish. Now, I can tell you, even with my experience at our office, work has changed and it is just not going back to the way it was. And when you are take a city business and you move to Dogtown or even the Hill, one of the big law firms moved right where we do Wind Down Wednesdays on the Hill.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just easier, right? You can you park closer and there's still plenty of restaurants and cool places to go. You don't really have that right now in downtown. So, you know,
we
got to attract people. And part of it is safety. Part of it is parking, just plain old parking, ease of parking. So it's going to take.
But if I gaze into my crystal ball and let's say that we're here in 4 years, okay, I don't see a scenario where that improves. I really don't. I don't think that these developments, the Millennium, I don't think the development, you know, that goes as far as, you know, that's beyond the hotel renovation. It's more like what they have in Kansas City. It's a little bit of I don't know if you'd call it a buffer or an addition to Ballpark Village. I have a hard time believing any of that's going to really happen. And they're going to want tax money for that.
Yeah, I mean, it does take some tax money. But, you know, we're going to have a bunch of people downtown here in another 2 hours because it's a Cards-Cubs game. It has to be a combination of entertainment. We just passed this entertainment district, Mark. So I'd at least let's give that a chance, mm-hmm. right? It's a self-taxing ability.
Yeah.
And you got to keep trying. But there's still cool stuff, and the bones are still here, I believe. They are still here.
Yeah, until they get a handle on crime. And I don't know about you, did you see the number of homeless people we passed getting into this building today?
Oh.
In the park they're sitting all over here.
And they're all drug-addled.
The lady who was naked except for the yellow blanket she had around her, walking down the middle of the street. They have to get
I don't know if
that.
They're homeless, but there's certainly some of them. I mean, there's the zombie thing going on.
Yeah. Well, look,
I mean, that's very disturbing, and that's actually new.
Well, that's why, to a certain extent, because Tishara shut down, you know, this Pelker Park, and the gates were around it, and then around the courts building. A lot of the people that we see out here on a regular basis, they're the same folks that were there a couple of years ago.
Right.
And you're right about the zombie stuff. You see people kind of walking down the street. You don't know if they're going to stay upright or collapse. I see people that are laying on the sidewalk. Sometimes medical assistance is needed and required, but it's a real thing. And I guess they've decided that, I don't even know what the name of that park is. This is directly to the west of where we sit here at like 14th and Olive.
Where there's about $150 million of private and public investment, you know, surrounding this park. And it's like, you know, if we have these assets, the Taylors, they did the Veterans Memorial, the library renovation was beautiful. This building, you know, you have all of this investment, and we've got zombies right in front
of us. How'd you like to rent an apartment? This Park Pacific building is a beautiful building.
Yeah.
These apartments are beautiful.
But you're not going to live here.
Right.
You're not going to live here. I just got back from London. If you ever visit London or Dublin, I can just tell you from those two cities, and they certainly have zombies and drug problems and some homeless people, but it is illegal. At night, you cannot be on the street. The cops go around, and like they have this agreement. The homeless guys just get in the cruisers and the paddy wagons, but they are taken to for real safe shelters where they are truly fed, safely housed, clean clothes, a shower, and a good meal. So you're just less mentally ill the next day. You're back out on the street the next
day. But, Steve, you know, and I've been covering this story. You know, I've known Larry Rice since 1984 when I was a student at the University of Missouri in journalism school. And, you know, he's been this benefactor across the state to try to campaign for the homeless. But what happens in these situations, mental illness is a big part of it. A lot of them don't want to follow the rules. So the rules that shelters have are not conducive to the behavior and the lifestyle of a lot of the homeless people.
Yeah, so you cannot just come in intoxicated. You can't come in under the influence of drugs.
Just saying, in Western Europe, they've figured it out, and they don't have what you see in the United States.
We don't even have a drunk tank. We don't even have a drunk tank.
It's unbelievable on the West Coast.
Yeah. I'm like, it's even worse out there.
You can't live like this.
And we don't even have a drunk tank. The jail is overrun. The jail is a standing constitutional violation, third world type, when you've got 13 people in a cell. And, you know,
do you agree with that, Tim? Is that a bad thing?
It's bad.
You know, in most of the big cities that I do my assessments, my accreditation assessments in, they will have a place where police can take someone 24/7.
Yeah, the zombies.
They could take them there for treatment and all those things. We don't have that.
Mm.
It's jail.
It's jail.
It's jail or the hospital.
With
the
murderers.
You know how hospitals are.
Yeah, with the murderers. And the hospitals don't take them anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, the cops can drive around all night and they don't have anywhere to go.
Let me kind of wind this back to the new mayor, though, because, you know, we had that period in the spring. She takes office. There's hope about some of these things maybe making progress with police in particular. The tornado hits. That's going to occupy a lot of time. But now we're, you know, into the later part of summer. So do we have an indication that Mayor Spencer is doing things to help the situation? Because, you know, no time to waste in these conditions in St. Louis.
That's why she needs a professional city manager or city administrator to help her with these duties. Think about that. You get elected and now you've got all of these responsibilities on you. How about someone that this is what they do for a living? I tried to do the same thing in the county, on the county councils. They have a professional county manager. And obviously Sam Page was against that because he wants to be in charge.
I want to talk about a couple other things before we break. Steve,
did issue a report. I just wanted to get that out there. Her sort of transition team did a long report about some of the ideas. And there's some really good stuff in there. They need more meat on the bones because, you know, everything takes money. But, you know, she wants to hire 200 cops. You know, there's some good things in that report. It's going to take some time to, you know, execute. But I think she wants to. But yeah, we have to pivot to the rest of the problem.
Did I see our sheriff in the news again today as well?
Yeah.
Oh no,
he's in the news frequently.
Man,
he's a joy.
He's going to sue again.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, I was going to get started here, but I'm going to do something that's rare. My producers know this, kind of try to follow the clock so we don't get too far behind. I do want to talk about the audit of St. Louis Public Schools. Steve, I know that you kind of dug into that. It's been one of your issues you've been passionate about, so we'll do that. We still have the I can't believe that this guy gets kicked out of the soccer stadium for wearing a MAGA hat. That still is mind-blowing. We'll get to that and a lot more. It's still coming up. It's the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. All right, so Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. We have Jane Duker in her regular seat. She's going to hang around in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll do some fun stuff. Dave Murray's going to help us with our hot and sticky forecast right after 4. We'll have some fun stuff with Sue's News on a Friday. Paul Hall on entertainment. And I think my first question to Frank Cusimano has to be, will there be any sex toys that will be launched onto the Busch Stadium field this weekend? I don't know if people know that reference. Do you guys know that reference? Do you understand? Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
I like a good joke, but I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know.
It's a little low rent.
It is. Be
a
little bit more creative.
But the Cubs are in town, as Steve mentioned, and that's a big series, and the Cubs are a damn good team. And look, the Cardinals coming off this win of the series against the Dodgers, so that's not a bad thing. All right, we have Jane Steve Butt, state representative, who's also running for state senate. We should mention that. Tim Fitch, former St. Louis County councilman, former St. Louis County police chief. Steve Butts, let me start with you on this audit of St. Louis Public Schools. This was a revelation, I think, did we learn a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, that the newer, now former superintendent, had done some really, really amazing fiscal management, where she turned a $17 million surplus into a $32 million deficit. And the way she did that was more than a little questionable. Now the state auditor, Scott Fitzpatrick, is out with an audit of everything that they did. And by the way, it's not just her. We should mention it's school board members that had to, you know, put their stamp of approval on some of this nonsense. But it is not a good look for St. Louis Public Schools. Were there crimes committed? What's your take on the audit?
Yeah, so one, I'm glad Auditor Fitzpatrick released the audit, and he is producing good work. That office is doing good work. I think all Missourians can be proud of our state auditor's office. When the report was released just a few days ago, I don't think anybody was surprised, right? We all knew it was going to get a terrible score. So he gave them the worst possible score that the district could get on this audit. I think when the best he could say about the school board and others was gross incompetence. Where we're at in St. Louis, this is sort of my deal. I used to think, you know, Republicans, Democrats, I don't think that way anymore. I think competent, incompetent. This is the whole thing.
Right.
And that's where we have to go. So to say that the woman that was hired, Keisha Scarlett, after this big national search, the best we can come up with is someone that was grossly incompetent. And then the school board, despite Matt Davis, who is a friend, is kind of saying, that's a little strong. We weren't really asleep at the switch. I'm like, you kind of were, because you hired the wrong person. Did anybody do any due diligence? Just go up to Seattle and do some real detective work and say, is this person really a competent superintendent? And the answer would have been clear. She is not. And then I think Matt Davis did have a good point. When these crazy amounts of unauthorized spending and overspending amounts come in, someone, not a school board member, someone who's a paid staff person, is just writing the checks for these credit card balances. Someone's got to be the adult in the room.
How do you not have someone who can overlook that and make sure that this isn't happening?
They're just like, I guess they're saying, my job is just to pay the bills. I'm just paying the bills.
I don't blame the bureaucrat. I blame the lack of oversight.
I do blame the bureaucrat, the lack of oversight. Every last adult there, and especially when it's SLPS, most of the kids that go to that school, they're high-risk kids. They come from poverty. They deserve, at least for the adults that get paid to educate them, to be competent and to know what they're doing.
That's the worst part of this. It's the worst part of this because now you're taking away from these kids' future. You're piggybacking this off of COVID and what happened there. And I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a teacher that even in a good district, right, in a Rockwood district, that said you'd be amazed by how far behind some of these kids are, you know, because of COVID. And I think we don't talk about it enough. I mentioned David Zweig's book quite a bit in Abundance of Caution, because he's a guy who wrote about this in great detail. Hill, and he brought the receipts. But now you have a situation where these are, to your point, Steve Butts, these are the people who are supposed to be the adults in the room caring about these kids, and caring about these kids when they may not have parents that care about them, you know, in some cases, or at least two parents, to get them to be members of society who aren't criminals. And that becomes now even a bigger problem.
Yep. That's the same issue we have with crime, is the parents just let the kids run wild.
Well, did you see the carjackers? They committed a carjack, and then they got released to their parents.
Yeah, so what's up with this?
Well, it's the juvenile system.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Where are you going to put these kids? Are you going to put them in the downtown jail? This is the problem that nobody wants to admit, and I think Gabe Gore is doing a great job, but they can't put these people away because they don't. The juvenile facility is getting full. The downtown jail is full. And so these kids, I sort of like Melissa Smith's approach. You commit a crime with a gun, you're going to jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
What, I mean,
Yeah. Chief Finch, those of us who support the Second Amendment, who would oppose that, right?
Nobody that I know
Well, we're not doing it. And I appreciate that it's happening in the county now because it wasn't happening in the county, but now it is. But it's not happening in the city.
Okay, but let me go over this story here in case people had missed
it.
So the way that our local paper wrote it up is, in the late hours of Tuesday night, an Uber driver arrived in the 4400 block of Kennerly to pick up a group of teenagers. When the teens approached the car, one of them pulled a gun, fired a shot, and demanded that the driver get out of his vehicle. That's what the driver told police. The teens jumped in the car and they sped off. Police tracked the stolen car. They chased the teens on a miles-long pursuit before they crashed in Bridgeton. All four were arrested. But police said they couldn't detain them. They were released back to their families that night. And it gets better, because early Thursday morning, police get a call for another carjacking, this time from a Lyft driver. It appears to be the same kids.
So how
in the world is that possible? Former law enforcement guy. How can that happen?
Goofy point system that the chief will explain.
Right. Yes. Are you familiar with the point system for juveniles?
I'm not.
So you have to attain a certain number of points, and each crime that you commit will get you a certain number of points. Once you hit the level to where you can be incarcerated, you have to commit multiple crimes. So they're released. It's catch and
even
release.
Even with a gun,
even
when you're
a gun that they
catch
fired.
And release. Catch and release.
Because it's very subjective, the point system. Yeah.
How do you fix that? How do you fix
court.
That?
The family court could fix
it. It's a state thing.
Yeah, the family court, that's a state court.
Without the legislature doing anything?
Yes.
I think the point system was brought in by the family court. I don't remember any legislation required these points.
Well, how about we adjust the level of points we're handing out? Like, here's an idea.
If you use a gun.
Right.
Gun,
well, what point do you have to get to?
That should max you out.
To be incarcerated.
When you use a gun in a crime, it should max you out.
Thank you.
Immediately.
Who would debate that?
And if we did the thing on the 4th of July, and I know it's comparing apples and, you know, with the parents, but doggone it. If the same kids the very next day, then I think you got to go get the parents. I mean, that has to be direct.
Well, and you got to take the kids from the parents at some point.
And they give the parent a summons for contributing to delinquency.
How many of these kids know? They all know it, right? They're not going to have consequences.
The problem is so many of these parents are not much older than the kids and have had the same issues and the same upbringing. So they don't see any problem with it, a lot of them.
Okay, I got to get to this just because out of all the topics I've been dying to talk about, I can't believe that this happened to this guy at the soccer game.
I'm being asked to leave by the police because Donald Trump got handcuffed, so I'm being threatened with arrest. Am I being evicted from the premises?
Yes, you are. He has a MAGA hat on, and they eject him from the game.
I have, unfortunately, only one red hat, and that is a Make America Great Again hat. I didn't think there'd be any issue with wearing that to the game. But with about, 25 minutes left in the game, I was basically told that they'd received a complaint about my hat. At first, they were looking for a sign, which I think is typically, what would be not allowed. But then they realized that it was me wearing a hat. And so they told me I could either, hide the hat or take it out to my car or leave were my options. And I said, there's 25 minutes left in the game. It's a close game, sir. I'm not going to take my hat off for anybody. I live in America, which is the land of the free and the home of the brave, I thought.
Honestly, when I heard this story, I thought it was a joke. I thought there's no way they could be kicking a guy out of a soccer game here in St. Louis for wearing that hat. And by the way, at a stadium and at a team that worships at the throne of the Alphabet Mafia, which is also political. All right, so if you want to start breaking this down by different issues, let's go for it and let's have a discussion. But this is utterly ridiculous. Ridiculous on my iPad is talking. That hasn't happened in a while, Sue. There you go.
That's but, usually me.
Does anyone have a different response to this, Steve?
Well,
even my
I do.
Democrat friends? I'm
going to have a different response to this. I'm going to say, okay, so first off, is it ridiculous on the MAGA hat? Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous. When he wants to say, I'm not taking my hat off for anybody, the guy could have just taken the hat off, right?
I wouldn't have. There's not a chance in hell I would have taken
it. I'd say just take
the
hat off.
What are you talking about? Why would he take the hat off? There's no reason.
Here's why. He is at a private stadium at a private business, and they got rules. And if you look
there's
at
no
all
profanity.
The
you boy, that is such it's so print. Offensive. Make America great again. Oh my God, it's so offensive.
Their wording, and nobody reads their fine print. It's like the people that got
but they
caught
let him
on
in.
The kiss cam.
They let him in with the hat on. So
maybe there was no complaint. Nobody. I hear all
but
that. I'm just
so
saying.
So you feel the same way if someone's wearing like an Obama shirt or something like that.
And actually, someone in that same story. Had a No Kings shirt on, and they said, you can't wear it, or you take it off and turn it on inside out.
Okay, well, that's
out.
Dumb, too. I'm sorry. That's dumb.
She did. That's why that didn't become a story, because they said it's their private business. These are their rules. If you come and use their ticket, you obey the rules. Yeah,
but the rules should not include
it's not a great look.
Banning mm-hmm. a hat that says,
it's
make America
great,
great again, because some lefty was triggered in the stadium, and that's what happened. And
you know, see, my response to that is? I'm not going to a game.
Yeah.
There you go.
Simple as that.
And you can,
that's my
you can
response.
Say that. That is a good
I
response.
Refuse to go to a game at City Park to put myself through. But you know what I think should happen? Somebody should test it. You know, even better, get a Kamala, get a Harris
yeah,
hat.
See what happens.
Or a
whatever,
Hope,
see,
an Obama
see what
hat.
Happens.
Yeah.
You know, and it'd be curious to see how they handle that. But my response to that is they're not getting any of my money.
Don't we still have some Jane Duker for county executive t-shirts so, hanging around here?
Cops
I know,
for Jane.
Butch,
see?
You got the
I've
new
got
ones
one.
For.
Cops
so
for
if
Jane.
You walk in with that
with
t-shirt.
Shirt, I can't wear it.
That's dumb.
I can't
that
wear it.
That is so dumb.
I'm just saying.
All
you.
It says is Steve Butt. What does it say on the front here? Steve Butts for state. Well, that's the one
by
for state rep, right?
What has the ownership of the team had to say about this?
I honestly
anything?
Don't know.
Silence. Absolutely.
Here's
silence.
The other thing. For my Democratic brethren, you're empowering this guy. Every time you trigger.
Oh, he's a hero now.
And you act like
I'm
a
I'm totally
fool,
on his side.
And if you can't function because you're looking at a hat, get therapy. Because every time you're turning him into a victim, you're this is, I
but,
mean, this does not help the cause.
I
it's
bet,
a much bigger story because
okay,
of that.
But Steve, yes. I bet if you went down and you looked at everyone coming into the game, and a lot of people are going to wear soccer gear, I bet you can find a few more political messages. They may be subtle, a little bit more subtle than the Make America Great Again hat, because that's so out there because Trump wears it. And you start picking and choosing who's going to get kicked out of a game. I mean, for that cop to have to go up and do that.
Who made that call? Who told
that's what
the
I like
the cops
to know.
Were mortified.
You know, one of the cops actually said, I'm a Trump supporter.
Sorry,
he
I said
do
that,
this.
Right.
Right.
You know, but who made the call? Who said, you have to go over there and tell that guy to take his hat off or get out?
And he didn't capitulate right away. So then, as they were walking him out, he said, okay, what if I take the hat off? And they're like, oh, no, we're beyond
now.
That.
Too
we're beyond
now.
That
yeah.
now, yeah. And I was like, yeah. I mean,
which they shouldn't have done. Right there, they should have said, fine, take the hat off.
They shouldn't have let him in. If there was such a big violation, why
exactly.
didn't they stop him?
Yeah.
As he walked in the door.
Not like there isn't a bunch of security coming into any stadium.
I think that you could, you want to talk about adults in the room. I think we could agree that if you have, you know, F Kamala, or if you have profanity, if you have other things that
a
are a little bit more inappropriate for kids. Right,
right.
That's a different category. But having a hat that wears, all that is someone with TDS that is triggered,
no
that can't say, look, there's videos out there. Sure. I saw one from this week, and sometimes these aren't timely because they recycle on Instagram. But I saw one this week where this woman was freaking the F out because there was a dude across the aisle from her that had a MAGA hat on and wouldn't take it off. And they're trying to get him off the plane. And she was going completely nuts because that's the mental condition of some of the people with TDS. I'm just shocked by it. And I would love for it to be tested again tomorrow night and see
My
what happens with
will.
Some. I think you might be right about that.
The phones are coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's on video, fellas. And so that's the thing. And so now... I mean, what is interesting, the guy got removed, But was there a statement from the team?
No, that's what I said. Silent.
Not the leadership, not the owner.
In the paper, they did explain the fine print about why this is being enforced. I'm just saying. I don't care why, because
you're picking and choosing who you're going to enforce it on, and I think that's sad, and it's embarrassing. We'll take a break. We got one more segment of the roundtable. All right, so we're in roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Here's what has been shared with me as far as the code of conduct from the MLS. They say displaying signs, symbols, or images for commercial purposes or electioneering, campaigning, or advocating for or against any candidate, political party, legislative issue, or government action. I mean, that is
that's a lot of stuff.
He's not campaigning.
This doesn't apply there.
Because he's lame duck. He can't run again. So there can be no more campaigning.
Okay. It says, okay, or advocating for or against any candidate political party. Is that an advocation for a political party?
I saw Jane with a Make America Great hat on.
No. But I think it's difficult to say that's party.
I think it's selective enforcement is what it is. I really do.
Well, it better not be selective enforcement, and we will find out.
It'll be tested.
Did you guys see the video? And, you know, sometimes I'm not sure if everyone's up to date on what happened with the national news cycle, but did you see the video of the beatdown in Cincinnati from last weekend where the mob of people, I'll walk you through it here a little bit, Steve Butts, and for the audience. So there's a mob of people. This thing had, you know, when it gets out on the internet, it's like 45 seconds, but it had gone on for like 20 minutes. There were groups of people that were going at one another. There were African Americans that were using racial slurs, in my opinion, against the white folks. And then there was a dude that was dropping the N-word. And I do not support either of those circumstances. But he got the snot beat out of him. And there was a woman who got involved. And she just got pummeled. And she was on Laura Ingraham's show with an exclusive interview last night talking about what happened, not saying her last name. Her name is Holly.
I look at it as attempted murder. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. So I think an incident is, it's insulting, to be honest. And I have yet to receive a phone call from her or the mayor just apologizing for what happened.
So she's talking about the police chief, but here's one of the things, and Chief Fitch, I want your opinion on this. Nobody really cared what was going on. There was one person that called 911, and she says that the cop didn't even ask her name or ask her if she needed medical attention. And if you look at her face right now, it is black and blue all over.
I want to say at least a solid 15, 20 minutes this was going on. I mean, the videos that you see are little short blurbs, but this was going on for so long. It was ridiculous. And it was like one crowd would come in and start beating on them, and then another crowd would come in and take their turn. So it was it wasn't going to stop. The police officers were being very nonchalant, and they were kind of blowing us off, kind of like, okay, you were in a fight, cool. I don't remember the words they were saying, but just by their demeanor and their attitude, it was a disgrace. Absolute disgrace.
There's a lot of things about this story that are outrageous, but Chief Fitch, when I heard her last night in that interview talk about how the police weren't even trying to assist her, she was knocked to the ground, almost unconscious, blood coming out of her eye and her mouth. And that's how a police officer, look, I put a lot of faith in law enforcement, and I love our men and women in blue, but that seems outrageous if that's true.
Well, I won't try to make any excuses for that. Let me start with that.
Yeah.
So they should have.
I doubt it was the cops. I mean, they're probably told what they can and can't enforce.
That's where I was exactly going with that, is my guess is that's kind of just the standard policy.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's dead or stabbed or shot,
right,
they probably don't write a report on it, and they probably figure so many people won't prosecute down the road anyway. And even if they do submit it to the prosecutor's office, nothing will happen with it. So unfortunately, in these very urban environments, you see cops throwing their hands up and going, what do you want me to do?
Aren't the cops at least supposed to stop the fight?
Well, they weren't around when that happened.
I think it was over.
And
by
no
the
one
time
called 911.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was over by the time they got there. And she said they didn't ask her name or anything like that. I think she had already decided they weren't interested. So she was kind of like, okay, yeah, get out of here. I don't need you. You know, where were you when I needed you? Whatever. But you know what? I hate to tell you this, but this happens in a lot of these urban environments where they're like, nothing's going to happen anyway. This is going to cause me all kinds of grief. I'm getting off in 10 minutes, whatever. And they blow it off like we saw in Forest Park with the guy that committed suicide, as it turns out, in Forest Park. And the first two officers that were there walked away from it. and basically said, come on, let's go. I'm getting off in 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. I remember we talked about it earlier
this
summer.
This was horrible.
This is that really core urban mentality of some police, and it jades the heck out of these guys. I'm not making excuses
for them.
Well,
they don't want to be in a position where they're going to get, you know, I mean, in trouble. That's why crime is down, guys. I mean, that encapsulates it. It's this kind of situation where, you know,
you mean
how
that's
many
why the numbers
times,
are down, the
right.
numbers are faulty.
Yeah,
right.
It's not about the lack of incidents, it's about the lack of reporting.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that is why, I mean, I'm still calling on the crime stats in St. Louis that they have to audit. The new board has to audit the crime stats because there are so many factors as to why, quote, crime is down. But you know, you can't solve a problem if you don't know like what the real problem is. And you're raising a very pertinent issue where cops are like, well, is this worth it? Is it worth it for me to do this? Now,
yes, it is worth it.
It should be.
It
but
is
you know what?
You shouldn't take the job
They've
if it's
been
not
told,
worth it.
I agree, but I also...
It's like being a lousy superintendent. I mean,
well, but when you have a police chief or that wants to be the chief social worker instead of the chief police, I mean, we've got the chief of police saying it is incumbent upon us to get therapy for these kids. I'm like, no, it's not.
No.
By the way, in this situation...
That sends mixed messages.
You had a council member in Cincinnati that was essentially cheering this on and saying that these
An
guys...
Elected.
They deserve the beatdown. Now, I will say it gave me pause when I heard that this guy was dropping the N-word because, let's face it, you're going to do that in a group of black dudes, you're going to probably get
you're
a beat
get
on. But there were racial incidents on the other side as well, calling Whitey out and this and that. And I know the N-word is the one word that nobody can say except for rappers or people like that. But, you know, there were racial components of this on both sides, not just one side. And that's... We've seen that happen as well.
And assuming that's true, it didn't deserve that beatdown.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, this guy was... Steve, you got to see the video.
Yeah,
he was
look
kicked
at it. It's
and
awful.
Kicked.
I'm a little surprised she survived it, actually.
I am, too, or that the other guy... The other guy's in worse shape.
I was shocked to see her on TV talking about it.
Is she going to press charges? Is somebody going
there
to do something?
There have been arrests. There have been a couple arrests, and there's videos out there and images where they are looking, you know, for people. But the Cincinnati police chief comes out and says, you know what? Everything's fine. This is what we hear in St. Louis. Everything's fine. There's this one little incident. Well, the one little incident has now gone viral, and millions of people
Correct.
Are dialed into a lack of response
and
in Cincinnati.
And you wonder why cops are feeling mixed messages when, you know, when your elected leaders are either cheering it on or they're downplaying what's going on.
Yeah,
but when you downplay
absolutely.
The criminals know that.
And to me, when you're in a fight like this in the city, and look at the cop from Ferguson who's going through serious rehab from the head injury. So
yeah.
Oh, that makes
Steve
me
Butts,
sick.
Great to see you.
Great to see
Do
you, Mark.
Do not dare wear that T-shirt into the soccer stadium.
No, I got a Willie McGee shirt
okay.
for tonight. No,
are you going
tonight? I'm going to the Cubs. That's awesome. Cubs game. Yeah.
And you know Yachty's going to be in the dugout. You
I
heard about that. That's kind of interesting. We'll
the
talk about that.
Coach.
We'll talk about that
Some
with
mojo.
Cusimano coming up. Tim Fitch, great to see you. Thank
Same
you.
Here.
And Jane's going to hang out in the next hour. Coming back with more.
Get more at 971talk.com.